This episode is brought to you in part by OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. All right, Shopify friends, are you ready to take your e-com game to the next level? Then you've got to check out OmniSend, the go-to tool for supercharging your Shopify store. With OmniSend, you'll be launching pre-built e-com automations in no time, segmenting customers based on their shopping behavior, and even trying out SMS or push notifications, all from the same powerful platform. And that's not all. Over 100,000 e-com brands trust OmniSend to drive sales and build stronger customer relationships. Whether you're sending quick-to-create, highly relevant emails, or targeted texts, OmniSend makes it easier than ever to connect with your audience and convert them into loyal customers. Don't miss out on transforming your Shopify store with OmniSend. Check out, we even have a link. It's in the show notes, your.omnisend.com/unofficial Shopify podcast. OmniSend. My friends, did you realize I, in part, got my career started with a few PR tactics and strategies? Yeah, something like, geez, 15 years ago now, I used a tool that would connect you with journalists, and then you would provide, answer questions, provide background, give expert quotes. And in doing that, I ended up getting quotes in a whole bunch of mainstream publications. And so I was able to use that to help generate some cachet, some authority around myself initially, as I spent, you know, the first part of my career building a cult of personality. And today, you know, this podcast, anyways, that's content marketing. Is that PR? I don't know. I know a fair number of PR people reach out to me on behalf of their clients. And today, we're actually going to talk to one of those PR people. I'm Kurt Elster.
Jack Nasty.
This is the Unofficial Shopify Podcast. And today we're going to talk to Gloria Chow about her phenomenal career. Gloria, welcome to the show. You went from being a diplomat to a PR coach?
Yeah, it's a very untraditional, huge pivot. But I grew up, you know, in a bicultural, bilingual household. I studied political science. I studied abroad in South Africa. So I really loved all things international, right? So I thought this was my path. And when I got into the government, I realized I was not a bureaucrat and more of a creative entrepreneur. And I didn't like the rules so much. I like to create my own rules. So kind of gave up a 25-year career, what would have been a really great pension to start over. And now I help small businesses, mainly product makers, get featured organically. I'm not talking about giving tons of free merch, actual earned organic media, and just through a cold pitching method that works. So for me, it's about making PR accessible, PR for the people. As you know, Kurt, like most of PR is about privilege and access, paying somebody who knows somebody. And it's very expensive and it's very inaccessible for 99% of product owners. So that's really why I exist. And I'm here to kind of disrupt the industry and shatter the status quo.
I like it, but I want to hear, before we move forward, share with me a little more about what inspired that drastic change. Was there like a moment where you're like, you know what? I'm not doing this. I need to do something different.
I will tell you that I didn't feel like I fit in like at all. And every day I was looking at PR jobs. I'll tell you kind of how I got started in PR, which is probably more interesting, is I probably applied for over like 1,000 jobs in PR agencies. And I got rejected because they all said, well, we don't really understand your experience and we want someone with a very traditional PR background, right? So I quickly realized that the industry was really guarded by this kind of cookie cutter, like you need to work at an agency. And I was like, you know, I'm a great communicator and I love to be everyone's unofficial hype woman. Like I just love doing that. I feel like in my past life, I was like the hype woman for a rapper who would come on stage like So I just love doing that. And so I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to do it myself. And my first client, I remember they paid me like a couple $100 to get them on TV. You know, they made this very obscure fintech app, which I had no idea about. And because I was an outsider and had no contacts to journalists, what did I have to do? I had literally Google, type in the search bar, New York Times newsroom. And I had to cold pitch from the operator and convince them all the way to the producer that my unknown client should have been on TV, right? So from doing that thousands of times, I had so many phones slammed in my face. I had so many ugly cries, just throwing spaghetti on the wall. I was able to crack the code. I'm like, okay, here's what gets a response and here's what doesn't. And I'll share that with you in a little bit. And now I kind of teach this method, but it was definitely not the traditional route of PR, if you will.
So you got your start through brute forcing the experience by cold pitching because you had no contacts to start with.
I had no contacts and I had no email. I had no way. I just knew, like, how do I find a story from this obscure thing? And how do I make it interesting for this person who doesn't know me? And I have about 10 seconds to convince them before they hang up the phone. Same thing with email. And so if you repeat it many, 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 many times, you start to pick up on patterns. But yeah, it wasn't the easiest time in my life, I will say. It's very uncomfortable.
I don't have it in me. I'd have to want it so bad to overcome. I don't know, what is the feeling like that stops us? What is it that stops people from engaging in PR in this manner?
I think we're not taught, right? We're not taught as business owners to do our own PR. I think PR has been shrouded in a lot of secrecy and prestige, like, oh, it's for celebrities or politicians, or that it's a scam. So that if you get featured, it's because you paid somebody. And so that's how the agencies have been able to charge $5,000, $10,000 a month and for 6 months contracts. Usually that's how it works, at least here in New York. And so for a long time, we just thought, well, unless we had really deep pockets, we're either not going to do PR because that's reserved for rich people. And I realized, like, that's absolutely not true. Journalists want to talk to the expert, you, and let's just remove the middleman and let's just make this process more seamless and take it upon ourselves to be our best advocates. And I think that as product owners, a lot of times we, because of this lie of the PR industry, we think, okay, well, we can't get featured, so let's just only do social media paid ads or pay an influencer. And I'm here to tell you that absolutely is not true. You can get featured in an Oprah's Favorite Things, in a BuzzFeed, and you don't need to know the journalist. You don't need to be spending tons of money paying an influencer of the week.
You mentioned social media, some of these other things that often get prioritized over PR, when in my experience, PR could be as effective or more effective than social media. Either way, there's going to be a lot of, like, shouting into the void until you get someone to pay attention to you. But I think PR gets overshadowed by these other things, these flashier tactics, the stuff that's newer. So it seems like that's what everyone's talking about. It's just, the reality is PR has been around so long, it's not a part of a day-to-day entrepreneurial conversation. So what makes PR, and to be clear, we're talking about this in the context of Shopify entrepreneurs, merchants with product-based businesses. What makes PR your favorite, more effective, more sustainable than these other channels?
Yeah, well, first I will say, like, raise your hand if you or someone you know has had their account, Instagram, Facebook, banned, hacked, restricted, right? We all know somebody. And so when we are just purely doing content for that quick hit of dopamine, we don't know if our followers are ever going to buy from us. It's a very low intent. But let's say if you're in an article and you make children's products and it's like best 10, you know, children's products, whatever. If someone's clicking on that article, likelihood of them wanting to buy something is a lot higher than just someone, you know, looking at your Instagram. And I will say that it's not enough to just get people to see your product these days, right? So yes, you can do the Facebook ads, you can just, like, bombard them with content, but what do they also need? They need to trust your product. And there's no other way to build that authority with visibility other than PR. So PR simultaneously, for me, it fills all the buckets of SEO because you're getting those powerful backlinks, and it also builds trust and authority, right? Because you're basically leveraging that whatever, it's New York Times, like, their authority. And you're simultaneously, like, getting traffic and sales. So PR is, to me, the highest leveraged activity, but we're not taught that because it's just so much easier to just create a reel and hope that it will go viral. So we get stuck in this loop and we never break out of that. But, you know, that's why we're talking today, is that we're going to give you actual, like, tangible, proven ways that you can break out of that and actually get featured.
Really, the way you described PR to me, this either is complementary to a digital marketing strategy or is a digital marketing strategy. We just don't necessarily think of it that way.
I will say that it's not, a lot of times we think, oh, it's a lot of work. It's something to add to your plate. But think about this. I'd rather post where I've been featured onto my Instagram feed instead. I'd rather repurpose one podcast interview 20 different ways than make those 20 pieces of content. So I always think about how can I work smarter and not harder? And if you can just get one feature, right, that is content right there for your social media feed.
I love the idea of repurposing content, right? We want to be efficient and we want to maximize the resources we have. Walk me through an example of repurposing content. Let's just illustrate the idea.
Yeah. So let's say you, because a lot of times we think, okay, well, we make with this one product, all we can talk about is this product, but it's not true. Let's say you make a product and you really care about sustainability, right? Something with your packaging. There's so many podcasts out there about sustainability and environmental things. Let's say you get onto one of them. That is a 20, 30, 40 minute video podcast that you can literally splice and dice and make it into YouTube shorts, YouTube long form, carousel posts, audiograms, quotes, captions, blogs, newsletters. Like, do you see where I'm going with this?
You could take the transcript, you could transcribe it, take the transcript, and then chop that up. And of course, generative AI, ChatGPT, will help you do it.
And newsletters, you can put the link into your signature line. Hey, listen to my podcast episode. Put it on LinkedIn. Shout it from the rooftops. It's just so much better and I think smarter to get featured and then use that to fill up your feed because it's just much more authoritative content.
When you mentioned PR and you said it provides some crucial things, we're making the case for it as like this is part of digital marketing. You said SEO. Well, SEO I love, but you know, like all content marketing, and that seems to be where PR is falling into, a kind of content marketing or inbound marketing. Those things are often long-term strategies or longer term, say, than the instant results of a PPC campaign, perhaps. When do we expect to see results? How long does this PR process typically take?
Well, I had someone who, you know, pitched using my CPR method and then pitched a couple of journalists and got a response in 24 hours and her story went live within that week. Right. So it's really just depends, but you need to start pitching. You need to know who you're pitching and what you're writing. Because at its core, PR is very simple. It's writing a good pitch and knowing who to send it to. And if you can put the two and two together, you can replicate that as a system in your business. So you can do it yourself or have an assistant on one day writing the pitch that you can use over and over again. On the other day, build your media list. And then on the third day, batch send and schedule it. And then 1 week later, follow up. So there's a process that we teach inside of my program, but it absolutely is about planting those seeds and knowing what you're pitching for what season. And it's really important because you know what? You're spending time on social media anyway. Why not take 5-10 minutes of what you're already doing and use that time to connect with actual journalists? Because they're on Instagram and LinkedIn too.
So you mentioned, did you mention pitching for the season?
Yes, that's a way to pitch, yes.
Is there seasonality to PR?
Yeah, so in terms of pitching your product, right? Let's say, so give me an example of someone's product in your program.
We work with a brand, Tactical Baby Gear. They sell diaper bags.
Okay, great. So let's say like new year, like there's a lot of angles around like new year, new gear, right? There's a lot of stuff around Father's Day and Mother's Day. There's a lot of stuff around Earth Day. Maybe there's a sustainability angle. And so when we pitch our product, it's not just, oh, buy my product, but like, how can we select the one or two standout items that can work for that seasonal story? So, you know, for babies, if you make, you know, let's say if you make baby gear, maybe there's something for the winter time that's a little bit cozier than something for the summertime. If you make skincare, there's something for springtime, there's citrus flavors, or wintertime, we're talking about like eczema, nourishing. So that's what we want to do, is out of all the products that we have, what are the one or two that we should pitch for this season, and then really tailor our pitch to that. So right now, at the time of recording this, it's all about Q4 holiday things. So it could be, what is a great stocking stuffer? If you have something that is a low cost and can fit into a stocking, pitch that. If you have something that's a limited time bundle that's only available for Q4, pitch that. If you have something that's a luxury gift, you can also pitch that too, because there's different gift guide and product guide categories that the journalists are churning out like crazy right now. I will say that they're monitoring their inboxes like a hawk and they're tasked with writing so many of those stories. I mean, even one a day, right? So best gifts for him, best gifts for dad, best gifts for the tech person, like so many. So you just need to figure out, okay, what are the products? What is the right angle? And then you just send it to the right person.
Ever wake up to customers canceling orders? Maybe they said, I shouldn't shop when I'm high. This was a gift. We broke up. Those are all real customer quotes. And they're all a real hassle for your customer and you. Why should the customer have to ask you to edit their order for them? What if they could do it themselves? Enter Cleverific. With Cleverific, you can empower your customers to make their own changes through a self-service portal. Cleverific is designed to reduce customer support tickets, ship orders faster, and even reduce returns and lost packages. Don't just take our word for it. Menswear retailer Peter Manning New York cut their order support queries by 99% with Cleverific, and they're not alone. Exclusively for listeners of the Unofficial Shopify podcast, get 50% off Cleverific's Pro plan, now just $49 a month, giving you full access to everything Cleverific has to offer. Just go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use the promo code KURT50, that's KRUT50, at checkout to claim your discount. Take control with Cleverific and watch your customer support tickets plummet, shipping speeds increase, and package returns decrease. And all of that means happier customers.
Following you, I'm surprised to hear how popular gift guides and writing gift guides is going to be. And obviously, like holiday gift guides, but you immediately made it more narrow than I would have. You said, you know, stocking stuffers, you know, gifts under X dollars. You're adding your... You're trying to get ahead of the story they might be assigned to already write, is what it sounds like. And so you're trying to put yourself in the right place at the right time for the right person.
Yeah, you want to make it easy for the journalists to understand where they can put your product. And we know just from historical data, just from if you just Google gift guide, that there's certain tried and true categories that are always there. So gifts for mom, gifts for dad, gifts for him, gifts for her, gifts for kids, gifts for stocking stuffer, luxury gifts, high-end gifts, home gifts. These are always going to be written about. And so a lot of times it's easy to be like, okay, I know that they're going to write about this. What is the one product that fits in this category? And then all year round, you have your evergreen angles, like in general, like best product for X, Y, and Z that doesn't need to have a season, that can be in the general product shopping list, you know, like a best of. And then you have, you know, your quirky angles. So maybe around Valentine's Day, it's like champagne for one, like self-care, like loving on yourself. We actually had someone who is a boudoir photographer get featured in Well and Good on an angle about why you should do like a self-love, like boudoir photo shoot for Valentine's Day. So think outside the box, but there are definitely those tried and true like buckets that we can all go after this season.
That's very clever. Okay. Well, before I get into misconceptions, I want to talk about your framework. You have a PR framework. What's it called?
So it's called the CPR pitching framework.
What's CPR stand for?
So from all the thousands of times that I was cold pitching, literally throwing spaghetti on the wall, because again, I never worked in PR, had no contacts.
Threw spaghetti on your wall.
Yeah.
How do you get the pasta sauce out of the paint?
Right. It felt worse than that, honestly. But it was like, how do I get someone who doesn't know me to respond? And I picked up on patterns, and I realized that when your email, which starts with an email pitch, has these three elements, CPR, credibility, point of view, and relevance, it usually gets responded to. So it's a way to structure a cold pitch. You could use it for emailing wholesalers, retailers, for pitching yourself for an award category or podcast. It's a way to have a value-driven conversation that keeps it really concise, which journalists likes concise. So usually how I start the email is with the subject line. Subject line is very important because that dictates whether or not it's going to get open. So your subject line should not contain your email. It should not contain your company, and it should not contain the word pitch in there, because like the journalist knows and they don't know you, so it's probably going to go to the trash. What you want to have your subject line is to be very specific, almost reading like a title of an article. For example, best eco-friendly gifts for the vegan mom in your life under $25. You see how that's specific and relevant? You want it to read like that. And for especially for gift guide categories, right? It could be like best XYZ stocking stuffers for. And then in the email, the CPR method, I actually start with relevance first, because you want to get their attention right away. You want to get the journalist's attention before they like go on to another email. So you want to set the stage. So a gift guide pitch I wrote recently is like, you know, as parents are looking for back to school items for their kids to keep organized during in the classroom, you see how that's relevant, right? It's like back to school. What season are we in? What's the problem that you're solving? you know, my all-in-one, like, transparent, heavy-duty pencil case is perfect for parents and students on the go, like, juggling busy schedules. So it's like you're starting with the relevance, and then you talk a little bit about why your product solves that problem, and then so that's the relevance, and the point of view is usually three bullet points. So it could be three ways that you're solving the problem. It could be three standout features. It could be about three tips, three benefits, three things. And then you want to conclude your email with a couple sentences about credibility. So I am a founder, and I founded this brand because I noticed that my kids were struggling with this. And, you know, I've been voted best, whatever, pencil case by our teacher, school, district, whatever that is. It doesn't need to have a lot of credibility. You don't need to be featured, but just some one or two sentences. And you want to conclude with, like, you know, as your readers are looking for gifts this holiday or items, you know, I'm happy to talk more about this. So that's really how you end it. And if you want to give a sample, you can offer to give a sample. I want to be careful with that because you don't need to always give samples to get featured. Then you start to go down the rabbit hole of attracting fake influencers who just want a ton of free merchandise. So you want to make sure that it's a vetted, accredited place. And if they're interested, you can offer a sample, but I wouldn't say that you need to offer a sample in order to get featured.
So that might be, you know, a common misconception. I've heard people say, you know, to do PR, we have to send product samples, and we get in similar to what you said. It's like either we get ripped off, you know, we send it, never see them again, hear from them again, or it's just not realistic to send that many samples out.
Yeah, I mean, if it's from Vogue or if it's from Forbes, like if they're asking for it, maybe yes. But if it's a blog and you don't really know them, I would be very weary. What we have done in the past is when we've gotten featured is you can give them an experience without giving a sample. So if you make bed sheets, instead of giving them the whole thing, you can ship them a little swatch, right? Like, here's our bamboo eco fabric. You can give them a behind the scenes video of how it's made, for example. So there's a lot of different ways. I actually interview a lot of journalists on my podcast, Small Business PR. And the person at Allure Magazine who does their beauty roundup, she says that I actually don't want any more samples. My closet is overfilled with them. I don't need another sample. So it's definitely not. I will say that now that we are getting into a different phase of journalism, it does help if you have an affiliate link. So what it means is that, like, it's a win-win for them. So if, let's say they publish you, right, like through a certain link, then they would get a commission. I wouldn't say that's 100% of the time you need that. We had people in our program get featured on BuzzFeed, on Forbes without ever having an affiliate link, but a lot of the publishers are now turning more into an affiliate model where they would want to have some kind of an affiliate link. And you can get that through, like, skim links or, you know, other ways that you could set it up.
And when you mentioned that, hey, there's a lot of people who probably have to write gift guides now, more so than in the past, my follow-up thought was, well, is this because they want revenue generation? They're trying to add affiliate links.
Yeah, I think that as, you know, media agencies, they become more, you know, strapped for cash. They have a lot more freelance writers. They do have that model, yes. I wouldn't say it's a rule, but I'd say that more and more people are looking for affiliate links, probably more than samples. So, you know, you don't have to, but if you do already have an affiliate link set up, then it doesn't hurt to put that in the email.
Okay. When I'm initially doing these pitches, do I develop a list of, like, these are the dream publications I want to be in, or do I start small and work my way up? What's the approach here as far as, like, target size?
So remember, PR, like we talked about, it's writing a pitch and knowing who to send it to. So we talked about writing it with the CPR method. Now let's talk about who to send it to. It's not info@buzzfeed.com. It's not media@refinery29.com. It's going to be the very specific journalist who covers your beat. So if you do kids, if you do home stuff, it's that writer who writes about kid stuff or home and garden. If you do beauty, right, it's going to be the beauty editor. A lot of times you'll see, like, commerce or shopping editor. Those are the people who write those lists for general products. Those are all good people to follow as well, because they probably will be the ones writing the gift guides. So those are the people that you need to follow. And, you know, obviously in my program, we have a database of all the journalists, but you can start to build your own media list by simply installing a Google News alert. So you type in the search bar, Google News alert, and Google will ping you of all of the articles being written about your subject. And you can start to just copy and paste the journalists and their email, it's all public information, into an Excel spreadsheet, and boom, you start to slowly populate that media list of the people who are writing stories for your niche.
So if I want to build my own media list, it's Google Alert for when things in my topic pop up, or Google News Alert. That'll keep it even more relevant. And then when I find one that's like, okay, that's good, I want that, then I record, I just note this down with what info I could find in for the journalist and their contact info. I just, you know, put that in a Google sheet and I have that. And now I'm now starting to build my own media list.
Yeah. So if you make kids products, I would put a Google News Alert for like kids diapers, kids products, kids accessories, you know, parent gifts. And then it will ping you with those stories. And then you can definitely do that. There's also a couple other ways. If, you know, a lot of journalists are on LinkedIn and Instagram and they have different hashtags that they write and follow. So one hashtag is called journal request. And that's when journalists are looking for people to interview that day. And so you can follow those hashtags and see if you fit the bill for the demographic that they're asking for. There's also something called HARO, Help a Reporter Out. Now it's being bought by a new company, but basically HARO, you can sign up as a source. And any time that, you know, every day, like they have hundreds of different inquiries from journalists looking to interview or get a quote from someone. And if you fit that description, then you can also reply to that as well. These are very kind of grassroots way that you can do it on your own.
Many do. And I mentioned at the start of the show that I had used PR to initially build my career.
Yeah.
That I was referring to Help a Reporter Out. And unfortunately, I think I grew out of it, you know, over time, either grew out of it or it got more competitive because over time I had less and less success with it, but I was also putting in less and less effort. So it not necessarily a reflection on them. Do you have any thoughts on HARO?
Yeah, we have someone in our program who got 7 HARO features this year, like Wall Street Journal and Nice. Pop Sugar, just from using my CPR method. So it's there's a
I did not have a framework. You're right. I was just winging it.
Yeah, it definitely helps increase the open rates. Also, HARO can be like an internet black hole. It's a lot of inquiries. So you want to do like control F and then you want to just type in like whatever your keyword is. So you don't have to sift through like the 200 or 300 inquiries and just do it very quickly. Another trick for HARO, and I talk about this in my program, is you want to respond within like 2 hours of it, right? Because then their inboxes get flooded. So there are ways that you can increase your chances of getting featured on HARO, but it absolutely works. Like I said, someone in our program got featured like 7 times this year alone just by using HARO.
What I ended up doing with HARO was I used email filters. It would suppress it, keep it out of my inbox unless that email that day had the keywords I was looking for. Like it had to say Shopify, it had to say e-commerce. If it had that, okay. Then suddenly the HARO email would pop up in my inbox. But if not, it just, you know, just moved on through past my inbox and into the trash.
Smart.
And that way, when it popped up, I knew, there's one I'm looking for in here. But you're right. I did discover quickly, like there's a very short time, very short window to reach out and have it, you know, get any effect. And even then, you know, for me, it was a numbers game. When I started that, I didn't have an audience. And so it seemed like a more accessible way to build that authority and then, you know, over time establish the audience. But I've heard people say like, well, we can't do PR. We, you know, we still got to get our social media audience going or build our newsletter. But isn't the point of the PR to get those things, right? Where do you see it?
Exactly. And again, it's getting traffic, but with that authority, whereas in other ways. So I think it definitely works well with all those things. You can put in the article a link to your freebie too. So you can decide, you can tell the journalist, like, here's the link I want to direct them to build your email list. But what's the point of all this? It's to get more sales, right? So like, I'd rather just link to your shop. And so if people are clicking on that article, if they want to buy best gifts for XYZ, like let's not prevent that. Let's not add another layer. Let's just bring them to your Shopify store.
What are some of the other common misconceptions that you see people having?
One big one is that it's too late to pitch for gift guides. And so a lot of times people are like, oh, well, I didn't get my stuff together. It's too late. And so if you want to be in like a print magazine, sure, like you want to pitch 6 months in advance. But for a lot of us, we're not, I mean, at least for me, I don't really read magazines that much anymore. It's mainly digital, right? So like the BuzzFeed categories, the wire cutters, like that, people are writing stories a week, even a week before Christmas. And so it's really not too late to pitch. I will say that right now is the best time to pitch because, again, the journalists are really monitoring their inboxes. It's probably presumably the lowest barrier to entry to getting noticed. And then, you know, like there's even after Christmas gift guides of how you can spend your gift card. So I think a lot of times we make up stories like it's too late, or I can't do this. But if you realize like there is room for you to get featured all year round, you just have to commit to it. The founders that do, they're getting featured all year round. Even in stories, like I have someone who makes the sunblock measuring cup. He's a dermatologist, so he made physical product, and it's perfect amount of what you should use to cover your body in sunblock. And he pitches all year round. He pitched a story around Halloween, which is not what you think about sunblock. You think about summer, right? And the story, the pitch that resulted in the story was like how sugar is wreaking havoc on our skin. So there's so many different buckets and angles that you can pitch just beyond your product. And as long as you know that, you can step into that and be like, oh my God, I can pitch all year round. I can get seen all year round. I can get PR all year round.
The Unofficial Shopify Podcast is sponsored in part by Zipify. And they've got the ugly truth about direct-to-consumer sales to share with you. And spoiler, it's really ugly. 82% of the people who buy from your store once will never buy from you again. And there's nothing you could do to win them back. That's why you need to get as much revenue as you can from each order. And that's where OneClick Upsell comes in. OneClick Upsell is a Shopify app that offers your customer upsells and cross-sells with every purchase. And it can increase your average order value by 15%. With OneClick Upsell, you can add AI-powered upsell funnels to every product on your store in just three clicks, including your product pages, shopping cart, checkout, thank you page, and even on the shop app. So you earn extra revenue automatically. OneClick Upsell is already the number one choice for 15,000 Shopify stores. And guess what? It's made merchants like you an extra $750 million. So don't miss out on another dollar in free upsell revenue. Try OneClick Upsell today and start making 10 to 15% more from every customer today. Go to zipify.com/Kurt to start your 30-day free trial. That's zipify.com/KURT. So everything we've discussed here is really, and I think because it's so product focused, has been focused on gift guides or, you know, product guides in general. PR, of course, I can also use to do storytelling, to try and do brand building. And that helps build authenticity. Authenticity is such a buzzword, right? But people don't want to hear from phonies anymore. You know, they want something believable. And of course, fatigue from social media is to blame. And we're going to solve that with more social media, but it's got to be authentic. Where can I use PR to try and tell those stories, to try and leverage PR to establish that authenticity, or am I barking up the wrong tree here?
So there's a lot of different types of gift guides, and a lot of times they will have a paragraph about your story. And so, for example, one of our skincare founders, his whole thing is like minimalism and then making products for melanin-rich skin. And so when he did get featured, it was a blurb about it. It wasn't just like one line. So there's different types of gift guides. And oftentimes they will want to talk a little bit about, you know, how you founded the company in a paragraph form. So that's a great way to do both. And then there's obviously like, you know, longer stories about your founder journey, which we've had someone who makes Ayurvedic hair care. And it was an interview deep diving into why Ayurveda, why this method, right? So we don't know that when we pitch, because we don't know what they're going to be assigned by the editor, but we still need to pitch, you know, using the CPR method. And then if they're interested, they can discover more. And along that journey of talking to the journalist, like that story will naturally come out. Obviously, there's also podcasts, which is one of my favorite things ever, because not only because you can repurpose it 30 different ways, is that it positions you as an expert, not just selling a product, but what is the bigger thing that you're doing? So if it's a parent, if it's a, you know, diaper thing, and maybe you have some thoughts about parenting, or if you make, eco-friendly things, it's about planet conservation. So there's a lot of different topics, thematics that we can talk about that's not just our product. And I really encourage you to think about what types of podcasts you would be a good fit for, even if you make a product that's a larger theme of what you're interested in. And then, you know, there's gift guides, there's a product guide, there's shopping guides, there's also like local TV as well. So if you have partnership with a local organization, we have someone who makes a subscription box with a book and a pantry staple, like a cookie or biscotti, right? And so she donates a percentage to her local like Fighting Hunger initiative. And she was able to get featured around the holidays because it was about like feeding people in this like you know, feasty season of eating. And so she got on her local Buffalo News like two or three times talking about why this initiative is important and like what she's doing to help the local community.
So that's perfect. I mean, that's exactly the kind of thing I was thinking of. How important is it? Like if I'm a product-based business and I want to do get into PR, is it a nice to have or I better have that brand story, that founder story that goes along with it?
I think at this point with market saturation and everyone having an Instagram, it is absolutely critical for you to not only be seen, but for people to trust you. And there's no other way to build that trust other than PR. If you have a lot of ads, maybe they'll see your stuff. Are they going to trust it? I don't know. If you have a lot of Instagram posts, maybe they'll see it. Are they going to trust it? I don't know. So I think it's non-negotiable. You need both of those things. And PR is the only thing that gets you that trust, that authority, and more eyeballs and traffic to your site.
So if I'm a small business owner and I'm like, all right, I agree with you everything on all of this, but PR still feels daunting. I'm afraid, but I'm curious. What's your advice to them?
Well, I say everything you want is on the other side of that send button. You know, like you can keep doing that rat race of trying to go viral. Maybe one day you will, but your account might get hacked. Or you can build sustainable long-term visibility and authority by getting into those gift guides and getting in those powerful backlinks that you can then repurpose. And so I think it takes a mindset shift from like, how do I work smarter as a CEO and leverage my time? And I think PR is the highest leverage activity. And just to understand that like, journalists are looking to feature indie brands and fresh voices. Think about it this way. If journalists only featured Fortune 500 companies, they probably would lose their credibility very fast, right? Because they would just be the spokesperson or mouthpiece of them. So journalists need to feature diverse voices, fresh voices, small brands. And so why have it not be you? Why not you?
Well, that's one of my favorite questions to ask. Why not me? You know, interviewing enough or entrepreneurs, at some point in their journey, they're like, hey, there's this really annoying thing about the world that I wish I could solve. And then eventually they go, wait, why not me? Why can't I do it? And then that's the thing that ends up inevitably starting their business. What we discover is that all of entrepreneurship is one long journey of going, wait a second, why not me? Why can't I do that too? So I appreciate that advice. Now, I'm sold on PR, but I'm busy. I don't want to do this myself. Can't I just hire you to do it?
Well, so the thing is that a lot of people actually either throw money at the problem because they say they're busy, or they just don't do it. And here's the thing. We're all doing something with marketing. So we're doing very low leverage activities with not very high ROI, things like posting on Instagram, right? Like I said earlier, no SEO, no authority. Or you can just like redistribute your time to do something that's actually going to give you those results. And a lot of people hire agencies because they, again, short on time. $20,000 later, they find me and they're like, I wish I found you earlier because I had no idea what they were pitching. I don't know the journalist and I still have no connections. So it's really important for us to understand, like, if we want to not pay an agency, we need to be the ones to own those relationships. If you pay an agency, they own the relationships. The moment you stop paying them, they walk away with those relationships. So how can we as a small business understand who are the editors or journalists who are copying, who are writing my, you know, for my industry, and how can I create relationships with them? Because once you get featured once, like they can tap you again to like get featured in other places. The beauty of it all is that a lot of journalists now are freelancers, so they write for multiple outlets. And so they like you, you're vetted, you have a legitimate company, it's very likely that they will feature you again and again and again. And so in terms of time, like we're all busy, I really think about it as this way, like just set aside an hour a week. In that hour, write your pitch, start sending it. And then as long as you create a system around your time, it becomes unemotional, not like, oh, I feel like doing it or I don't. You can set aside Thursdays from 3 to 4, it's my day to work on my pitch and send it out. And the following Thursday is my time to then do my follow-ups. And in our program, we teach you how to create a system around it. But we have a system for everything else in our business. Why not have a system for visibility and start planting those seeds? Because you never know when they're going to germinate.
I agree with you. Pitch me on your program. You're a PR coach. You've got the CPR system. Let's hear it.
So my whole thing is really about like shattering the status quo. Let's make PR accessible for the rest of us. It's PR for the people. And what I've noticed is that PR is just writing a pitch and sending it out. So I give you proven templates of over 50 different product pitches that I've written that's gone featured. And once you learn how to write in this way, you become really invincible. And then it's a piece of, who do you send it to? Well, I've built a media database of over 100,000 journalists across all different categories. And then you put the two and two together, and then you just repeat and rinse and repeat. I also realize that access is very important, right? So PR agencies are very expensive. What I charge is a fraction of that. And I'm actually coaching you as well. So we have on-demand support from me. We do meetups. Community is very important. So we have a Facebook group talking about all the best practices. We actually had someone share their horror story working with an influencer. And so that's a very interesting thread. And then I actually have the journalists who are writing these gift guides from Forbes, from Refinery, from Pop Sugar, from BuzzFeed, coming into the program to meet the founders. And I always have them take screenshots of their inbox with examples of good pitches that got featured and bad pitches. And there's just, to me, it's all about access, right? It's not just telling you, but showing you. And then you get to actually meet the journalists, which is really quite powerful, because it's not just me telling you, but it's actually the person who's writing the gift guides telling you what they're looking for. So it's my PR program. Go to prstarterpack.com. We are in a process of rebranding, which I'm so excited about, because new year, new website. And so we are going to change the name. It's going to be called Get Featured Accelerator. But if you go to prstarterpack.com, it'll redirect. But it's the only PR program I have, and it's really focused on helping product owners get featured organically.
That's wonderful. Gloria, thank you so much for this.
Thank you so much.
What favorite book?
Ooh, so one book that I read recently that actually made me really niche down and serve only product makers is 10X is Easier Than 2X. It's a great entrepreneur book. It's really about how do you do less but better? And I'm in a season of simplifying things. And so that's really helped me tremendously this year.
That, I'm going to add that to my list as well. That sounds like a good one and applicable. Gloria, again, thank you so much. One more time, what is the website we should go check out?
Well, actually, I want you to watch my free PR masterclass. And people have actually watched the masterclass and gotten featured right away, just seeing what that CPR method looks like. And you can watch it on demand for free at GloriaChowPR.com/masterclass. That's Gloria, CHOUPR.com/masterclass. And I have another freebie as well. If you DM me on Instagram at GloriaChowPR, the word gift guide, I will give you a freebie, which is my top 10 ways to get featured in any gift guide.
Oh, what app are you using to do that? Is it ManyChat?
No, I do it. I do it manually. I have my team.
Oh, really?
There. Yeah, I have my
team. I just assumed.
Yeah, we did use ManyChat. We did use ManyChat, but like, no, nowadays my team is in there. I'm in there. So I'm very responsive.
You're right. It's like you're just sending a link. Somebody could just do it. All right, cool. Very cool. Gloria, thank you so much. PR, such a frequently overlooked tactic strategy for product businesses like Shopify merchants that they shouldn't sleep on, right? I think you've made the case for us and given us the tools. So thank you.
Thank you.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.